Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read just a few verses at the end of this prophecy. We're going to begin our reading at the 10th verse and read down through the end of this chapter. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless to our hearts this reading of his holy word for his name's sake. Tonight I'm going to ask you a question. A question I want you to contemplate as we come to the table of the Lord. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Before we consider the word of the Lord, let's turn to him and seek him in prayer and ask that he might guide us and help us and take us forward with himself during this time tonight. Our Father and our God, we are glad again to return to this place. We're glad, O God, to gather around thy table, to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful to reconsider in our hearts that which those elements, those very things that we hold in our hands represented here, Lord, we're thankful to reconsider what they stand for. Lord, our salvation, the price of our redemption. Lord, we're thankful that we are a people who have been bidden to come to this place. We're thankful, O God, that thou dost hold forth for us the hope, indeed the reality, that thou art here and thou dost mean to meet with us. Lord, I do pray that thou wilt still our hearts as we enter into this time. Lord, I pray that thou wilt prepare us as we would seek thee around this table. Lord, I pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts, may it be used of thee to prepare us and to draw us and to speak to us. O God, do bless. Do take us forward now with thyself. Bless thy word. Help me as thy servant, I pray. O God, hide this time and this servant and these people under the blood of Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The statement that we have in verse 11 of our text this evening is that the Father, God the Father, shall see the travail, the anguish, the suffering of Christ, and he shall be satisfied. Those words tell us that there is nothing more that needs to be done to pay for sin. We have a blessed statement here that is meant of God to lift our gloom and to dispel all our fears. God is satisfied with the sacrifice. God is satisfied with the blood shedding of Jesus Christ. Are you? Are you satisfied with what Christ has done? Are you satisfied with the work of the Son of God? Let me tell you plainly, That very thought is the reason why we are in this place tonight. Perhaps our minds and hearts will say, "Oh, but brother, aren't we here to remember the death of Jesus Christ till He come?" I ask you, what is the difference really between what I am asking you and that statement? You are coming here, you are remembering the death of Jesus Christ, but I say it goes beyond that. You are declaring by being here, by partaking of these elements, that you are indeed satisfied with Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. That is what you are saying. That is what you are doing. You are here to take these elements and to bow your head and to exclaim with every fiber that is in your heart, to God you're to exclaim this, "I am well satisfied with Jesus Christ." That is what you're here to do. I want us to consider the statement of God's satisfaction. And I want us to see that there is reason for you, child of God, to be well satisfied with Jesus Christ. These verses that we have read tell us, well, four things that I see that are enumerated here that God is well pleased with, and that we ought to be as well. I will move through them quickly. First, I want you to understand, and I want you to see, that God is pleased, God is well satisfied with a bruised son. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord." Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What? That God would bruise him? It pleased God to see a bruised son, but not only that, to bruise him himself? Is that really what is being said here? Yes, indeed. I would ask you tonight, can you see the Son of God under the weight of a divine hand? I will say it was the very hand of God that smote Jesus Christ. It was not the hand of a Roman that placed those crowns of thorns upon the head of Christ. Oh, perhaps he was an instrument, but it was not his volition that did it. It was not the hand of some Roman that swung around through the air that cat of nine tails that landed upon the back of our Savior. It was not the hand of a soldier that drove the nails through the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. It was the hand of God. God was pleased to bruise Jesus Christ. It pleased Him to see this. Well, we'd have to come up with a question. Why? Why would He do such a thing? Why would God smite His own Son? Why is it that the Lord would lay the stripes upon the Son of God? Those stripes that we read here are our healing and our salvation. Why would it please God to smite Christ? Well, the answer is there in that verse number 11 there, where it says, "He hath put Him to grief, that when thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin." The issue was sin. The reason why it pleased God to bruise Jesus Christ was because of sin. God was smiting sin itself. Christ was made to be sin, though He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It was, as it were, the very fist of God raised and striking home against our sin. That is what you saw that day at Calvary. All that caused separation between God and His people was dealt with by all the strength of an infinite hand. God smote sin. What does that say? What does that indicate to me? Well, it says that He desired to take your sins away. He bruised Christ, and He was pleased to bruise Christ that He might take your sins away. He desired to take away from you all that sin would ever do to you. I say, you have the mercy of God coming to the fore. You have the love of God springing forth as a river here. He would remove from your case, child of God, all that stands against you, all that stands between you and eternal life, all that calls for your condemnation and your death. God, in His own power, placed His bruising hand upon the back of your Savior, Jesus Christ, and He was glad and pleased to see it. I ask you, child of God, are you satisfied to see an end to your sin? Are you satisfied to see now the smile of God and to be able to look into the face of God and say with all your heart, that smile is my smile. It belongs to me. That pleasure that I see upon the very face of God is the pleasure that is the gift of God to my own heart and to my own mind. God is pleased with Jesus, and now God is pleased with me. I see it on the face of God. I ask you, child of God, are you satisfied with Jesus Christ who bore your sin away? Are you? Can you answer that? I would just simply put it to you. Are you able to voice that? I mean, I'm not saying cry out with your mouth. I'm saying in your heart. Are you able to answer this tonight? Can you put words in your heart to this? I am satisfied with Jesus. That I say to you tonight is the point I'm trying to make. It is your place in this time to tell Him so. You are to tell Jesus Christ tonight that you are well satisfied with the work that He has done. You are to tell Jesus Christ tonight as you come into this time that the blood and the body which were broken and shed for you pleases you well, for in it you see your hope, your salvation. It is your place, child of God. It is your duty, child of God, to tell Christ that you are well satisfied with Him. That's why you're here tonight. That's why you handle these things. But I go on to say there's another thing that we see that the Lord shows us that He's pleased with, and that is, secondly, a saved seed. A saved seed. It says here, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. What is that saying? It says this, that God the Father sees the salvation of those who belong to Christ. He sees our salvation, and it pleases Him. God is gladdened in His heart to see you delivered from sin. God is delighted in His heart to see you out from the burden of every condemnation. It pleases the heart of God that you shall dwell with Him forever in His presence. I say, that's the truth here. He shall see His seed. He shall be pleased. It's not hidden to God what the end of those would be who are not in Christ. And that end is not hidden from us either. It is hell forever. But now I say, because of a bloody and an agonizing sacrifice, God sees the salvation of the people of God. He knows within His own mind and heart that they are safe and sound. Not one of them shall be lost. God is well pleased and satisfied with your salvation. But also, you might even take it a step further. You might actually make the conclusion that God is also pleased to own you as His child, because it talks of seed, it talks of offspring, it talks of those who are made children. God is pleased to see you as His child tonight if you are in Jesus Christ. and he is pleased that Christ's blood has brought you to him. My question is, are you pleased? Are you pleased that you have been saved? You know, we take that so much for granted. We take those truths as just cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. We forget about what it truly means to be saved forever from our sins. And I would ask you tonight, are you gladdened in your soul that the flames of hell shall never be something that you shall experience? Are you glad that your forever is a forever with the Lord? Are you glad that the day shall come, that the clouds shall be parted, and you shall be able to behold the Son of God in all His glory, extending the hand to you, saying, "My beloved brother, welcome home." I say, is it something that pleases you? Is it something that satisfies you? Are you satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ that brings you to the place where you may say, "Heaven is mine forever"? And I say, child of God, your duty tonight is that you are to tell Jesus Christ so. You are here in this place to remember Christ, but you are here to tell Christ, "I am well satisfied with you. And I am well satisfied with my salvation." You are to tell Christ this tonight. Third thing. The Lord is pleased to view a righteous servant. It says, "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." The statement is very plain. Jesus Christ is an absolute, in absolute and complete perfection, has fulfilled every law. But more than that, every possible wish that would please the heart of God. Jesus Christ is not only a keeper of the law, he was a fulfiller of every pleasure of God. Everything that could possibly be desired of God, he has done. Let me illustrate it for you. And I'm sure you parents know this one well. There's a great difference between a child who keeps every rule at home and a child who loves every rule at home because he loves mom and dad with all his heart. You can have a child who does everything that needs to be done, but the child that does it because of love and is not afraid nor hesitant to show that love. You say, "Oh, how that pleases my soul so much more." But I say that is Jesus Christ when it comes to the law of God. Not only does he fulfill the demands of God, but he goes beyond and loves God with perfection and with fullness, and with a vigor that you and I could never imagine. Jesus Christ loves his Father. But here's my point. It says that my righteous servant shall justify many. What that simply is saying is that very same fulfillment is that which he has imputed to me. God sees me not only now as a keeper of the law, but he sees me as wearing the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. The same love that Christ had for the Father is what God sees as my possession. He sees me as having loved him in that way. Have I? No. But I say that this, well, what shall we call it? This all-pleasing is what we have to our account. My friends, you don't need to wonder this evening whether you are pleasing to God. You don't need to wonder about that. And you can say, "Why in the world can you say that, Mark?" Because Jesus Christ has imputed to your account all that is possible to do to please the Father. I say, is that not something that could satisfy your soul? I no more have to whip myself or beat myself or whatever it is to try to bring myself into favor with God. Jesus Christ has done it all. I ask you, does that not but satisfy your heart in some small measure? Then I would say, child of God, it is your place tonight to tell this to the Son of God. It is your place to say, I am well pleased, O Christ, with my standing. I am well pleased with my position before God. I am well pleased with that which is my glorious dress, even the righteousness of Christ. But then the last thing I want us to look at is that it says that God is satisfied with a pleading Savior. At the last verse it says, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The statement here is very plain. Jesus Christ is pleading for transgressors. Well, who is that? No big mystery. It's you. You are a transgressor, are you not? Most of us would say, boy, howdy. I'm more of a transgressor than I'll ever want to admit. That's right. Those that were against the Lord and breakers of His law, Jesus Christ has and will stand up for. Amazing thing. Christ stands up and owns me. We sang the song, I am His and He is mine. What does He do as a result of that? He owns me as His own. He stands up, and when the whole accounting time comes forth, Christ stands and says, here, these are mine. I plead before Thee, O Father, that Thou wilt forgive them for my sake, that Thou wilt allow them indeed to come into Thy presence, because I have paid for their transgressions. Christ stands up for sinners. But He does more than that. As He intercedes that a portion that was to be divided to Him among the great might be given to us as well. That which Christ died for, He pleads that we might have. John chapter 17, verse 24, hears Him say this about us. It says, Father, I want, in other words, that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Christ is pleading that you and I would know a portion of that which He received for being the perfectly righteous servant of God. Say tonight that Jesus Christ pleases the Father, and the Father is pleased with the intercessory work of Christ. He is pleased to give Him all that He asks for. I would ask you tonight again, are you satisfied with such a work being done for you? Are you satisfied with the intercession of Jesus Christ? Are you satisfied with what He is gaining for you? Are you satisfied with all that He is desirous, indeed pleads that the Father would allow to be your possession? Even here in this life, are you in any way pleased with the intercession of Jesus Christ? The Father was, are you? And then I would say to you this word. Then you are to tell Him so. That is why you are here tonight. You are pleased with Christ. You are satisfied with all that He is. You are satisfied with His work. You are satisfied with your standing. You are satisfied with His intercession. You are satisfied with Christ. It is now your time to tell Him so. We are entering around the table where the presence of the Lord is promised to us. We are about to partake of those elements which have been told to us are the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are in the time, I say, the hour in which we are closed in with the Son of God, and in which He means to do your soul good and to bring you grace. Your place, child of God, is to get your eyes off yourself. I say this advisedly, but I say this honestly. This is not the time for you to be mucking up a bunch of things against yourself. This is not the time for you to go looking at what you are and what you may not be. This is the time for you to set your mind and heart upon your Savior. This is the time for you to get your eyes and your heart off yourself and to love Christ. And this is the time for you to confess with a heart of love, I am well satisfied with Jesus. Now I'll say this. If you need to confess your sins, this is a good place to do it. The Lord does not hesitate to deal with sin at any time. He is willing and able to make you clean all the way through. If that's what's needed, then do it. But I say, don't waste this opportunity to tell Christ, I am well satisfied with you, my Savior. That is this time. May God give us grace to do that which is our duty. Oh, I say more than that. That which is our pleasure to do. Amen.